Marriages are complicated, and that's when the relationship depends only on the two people who took the vows. But imagine if your marriage also depended on the success of another marriage. I'm May Noman, I'm a producer for BBC Arabic, and in this program, I'm taking you to Yemen to meet men and women who have entered swap marriages. No, not that kind of swap. This is a much more serious one. For these couples, the success or failure of their marriage is tied to that of their siblings' marriage.
A swap marriage is the worst kind of marriage. It's better to spend all your life alone than to marry this way.
Join me on a journey to explore this ancient tradition that's still practiced in Yemen, and which often ends in heartbreak for two couples, not just one. But before we get into the complicated world of swap marriages, also known as shighar, let me paint you a picture of the culture where these stories are set. Let's start at a Yemeni wedding. Well, this one just happens to be mine. So welcome to my Yemeni wedding. If you listen carefully, you might notice that you can only hear women's voices in the background. That's because men and women have separate wedding celebrations in Yemen. This segregation gives women the freedom to dress as they please. On the streets, Yemeni women typically wear long black cloaks known as abayas over their clothes. It's a dress code imported from neighboring Saudi Arabia. But at weddings like mine today, women celebrate in full color and style, showing off their patterned traditional outfits or their bright modern dresses. Although women might have a choice in what they wear at weddings, they have little choice in where they live after marriage. You might find this difficult to imagine, but Yemeni women, more often than not, live with their in-laws on a permanent basis. If you've ever organized a wedding, you know how expensive they can be, especially when a dowry payment is required. With Yemen being one of the poorest countries in the world, financing weddings has become a nightmare for many Yemeni families, who on average have 7 children. Finding the right partner can be equally challenging, as we all know. But this is not a concern in Yemen, because our culture believes strongly in destiny, or nasib as we call it. So an arranged marriage, like any other kind of marriage, can only offer what God has written for you. My destiny was to find love before marriage. Today, I'm one woman marrying one man, and like most people around the world, the success of our marriage depends mainly upon us. But here in Yemen, there's a complex kind of arranged marriage, one that forever ties the fate of one couple to that of another. My friend Hassan explains it like this.
The agreement is I marry your sister and you marry mine. But if you divorce my sister, I divorce yours. This is shighar.
Shighar, or swap marriage, is a pre-Islamic tradition that offers two families a way out of paying a dowry. To understand the implications for those involved, I'm leaving the capital Sana'a to visit some families in nearby villages where the practice is said to be prevalent. I've arrived in Sawan, a small village on the outskirts of Sana'a. Like most Yemeni villages, Sawan has few paved roads and limited public services. The homes here are mostly small, long, unfinished brick houses. As I walk down the street, the sun reflects off the half-moon, brightly colored stained glass windows that Yemen's architecture is so known for. I'm here to meet with Ghalib, who is the elder woman of this village. She has arranged for me to speak with her daughter, Nadia, about her shighar marriage. We're chatting over sweet milky tea and delicious Yemeni dishes with Ghalib's family, who, like most families here, are very welcoming and want to hear about my own marriage and life. They ask me if I have kids and tease me for not having any yet. But Nadia sits quietly in the corner of the room, gazing at us with a broken smile. As she begins to tell me her story, The other woman's smiles start fading.
We approached a family about asking their daughter's hand in marriage for my older brother, but their condition was to have me for their son. In exchange for the daughter marrying my brother, they wanted to swap. But they said that one marriage's success wouldn't depend on the other. We decided to put our faith in God and to go ahead with this marriage. We got married. I didn't know him, but I thought, this is my destiny. You can't expect more than what God has written for you. We were engaged for 2 years. I didn't love him in the beginning. But somehow, after we got married, I fell in love with him. My heart felt at ease with him. He was a good man. He took care of me and our children. We had 3 children within the first few years of our marriage. But my sister-in-law was not very patient with her marriage. When faced with the slightest trouble, she would leave my brother and return to her family. One day, my sister-in-law decided to leave my brother. So my family took her back to her family. When they got there, I heard my father-in-law tell my brother, "Take your sister while you're here." My brother asked, "What does my sister have to do with this? She has no problems with her husband." But my father-in-law insisted, "You should take your sister back." I felt a great deal of hurt when they told me that I would get a divorce.
It was extremely painful for Nadia to be torn away from her husband. But what truly broke her heart was her in-laws taking away her children. Although Yemeni law sides with mothers in these cases, Yemenis rarely bother going to court because tribal and social customs undermine the law.
My family asked me if I had any possessions left with my husband. I said I wanted nothing. He took away all that is important to me. He took my children. They took away my daughter when she was just 7 months old. I was still breastfeeding her. And they took away my 2 older children as well. I begged them to return my daughter to me. I told them it's not right. She needs me to breastfeed her. I asked them, what did I do wrong? My sister-in-law wasn't happy, but I had nothing to do with it. They said, you had a swap marriage, and what happens to our daughter must happen to you. They wouldn't let me see her for 3 years. When I saw her for the first time, after all those years, I thought to myself, she won't recognize me. I imagined her saying, you're not my mother. How could you be my mother when I haven't seen you since I was a few months old? But when I saw my daughter, she begged me, mother, please, I want to sleep one night in your arms. Please, mother. But what could I do? Do they feel no compassion in their hearts? It breaks my heart when I see my kids. They say to me, please, mother, why did you leave us? Please come with us. We promise we will take care of you. These are my older children. They are 5 and 7 years old. If I knew this would happen, I wouldn't have had kids. I wondered why people have swap marriages if they cause this much suffering. A swap marriage is the worst kind of marriage. It's better to spend all your life alone than to marry this way. Whenever I am out at a wedding or celebration, I find my mind is always on my children. I can't enjoy anything in life. When I see my children crying to me that they want to be with me, I feel ill. I don't want to go out anymore. I just don't. That's it.
I seem to have touched on an open wound, Nadia's children. Nadia clearly feels completely helpless and is quite desperate. Other women I spoke to seemed more accepting of their fate, as they put it. But talking to Nadia, it is clear that for her, the pain is still very much alive. And Nadia's mother shares her pain.
What we did is un-Islamic. I will regret doing this to my children until the day I die. I cannot think about food or sleep anymore. I'm always thinking about them. Swap marriage is never a good way to marry.
What a story. That was really, really emotional. I had to pause the interview for a few moments because she was crying. Can't imagine anything harder than being separated from your children, not being able to see them and hold them as often as you want. I went to meet these women not knowing what their stories were. But I came out of it thinking to myself, how can they bear it? Being separated from their husbands that they love, from their own children. And I still don't get it. I don't understand why anyone would get married this way. So if it's all about struggling to pay dowry, why is the payment of a dowry so significant in Islamic marriages? I put this question to a religious sheikh.
The payment of dowry in marriage has existed since al-Jahiliyyah, before Islam. And when Islam came, it made it a requirement for a man to pay dowry to his bride. The bride typically uses the dowry to buy gold as an investment for the future. The amount for the dowry varies and is set by the bride's family, and it depends on their social class. Dowry is meant to provide women with some financial security as they leave their home.
So if a dowry is a requirement in Islam, where does this leave swap marriages, or shighar, as they're known in Yemen?
Shighar is haram, un-Islamic, because it lacks an important condition in the marriage contract, the dowry, which is unfair on women.
So it seems that many deem shighar or swap marriage un-Islamic, and yet this traditional marriage still exists and is widely practiced in many villages in Yemen. As I've discovered, tradition can often hold sway over religion in Yemen, even if it causes much misery. But why is this? A question for the village elder man.
People marry shighar when there's no money, when they don't have money to pay for dowry and wedding expenses. Also, traditions and customs are the core of our society. We hold on to our traditions. They are too important for us.
But I've been told that this specific tradition is starting to die out.
Nowadays, people don't practice this kind of marriage as much as they used to, because it causes too much misery.
And yet couples are still being tied to one another, even when their families do pay the dowry. As long as two families exchange daughters, the couple's fates will be sealed together. This becomes even more problematic when the marriage is within the same family.
Most swap marriages are within the same family, and that makes it more complicated. When problems happen, it's harder to escape them.
You're listening to a BBC World Service program about Yemen swap marriages, an old tradition also known as shighar. I'm on my way now to meet with Walid and Noura, a brother and a sister who married their cousins in shighar. The difference here is both families paid dowry and agreed from the beginning not to have both marriages dependent on each other. My understanding is that this agreement was not honored when trouble with one couple surfaced.
My older brothers told me that I was to marry my cousin. I didn't like the idea of marrying from within my family, but I was pressured by my parents. They wanted me to marry someone they knew well, rather than bringing a stranger to their home.
Walid, despite his wistful beguise, seems resentful at what happened. But his sister Noura, with her pretty and innocent-looking face, appears more fatalistic.
بعدين جت أمي كلمتني إنهم يجوا يخطبوا خطوبة رسمية.
My mother told me I was engaged. I told her I didn't want to marry, that I wanted to finish my education. She said that's not possible, that my brother was already engaged and that my father couldn't go back on his word to my uncle.
I resisted the idea, but the family was determined, so I thought, maybe I will find happiness in this marriage.
I was afraid and hesitant, and then I thought, this is my destiny.
I had no idea that my sister didn't want to marry him. But it's not like we could have done anything. We're not the type of children who could say no to their father. We just had to obey him.
Here's Noura and Walid's older sister, Fatma.
The wedding was set to take place in a month. It all came very quickly. My sister was not happy, nor did she feel ready.
I remember being scared and worried on my wedding day. I didn't feel the way a bride should feel.
After the wedding, each bride went with her husband. I went with my sister, who was scared and upset as anyone in her situation would be. I stayed with her until we arrived at their house. I reassured her that everything would be fine. I told her that this is what God wanted for her.
Life went on. I tried to take each day at a time until I adapted. It was difficult in the beginning, but then things were better. He was easygoing and we were getting along well.
But getting along well is not enough if you're in a swap marriage, as Noura was about to find out.
I got pregnant 2 months after our wedding, and at the same time, problems between my brother and his wife started to surface.
My brother's wife loved him a lot, but he found it difficult to get along with her. She was jealous to the extent of being possessive of him. That bothered him. She used to spy on his calls.
She used to say hurtful things. It's very personal, but I couldn't take it anymore. My parents always sided with her in all our arguments. I felt I wasn't their son.
He didn't want to have kids, and she did. She wanted to tie him into the marriage, but he wasn't ready. Despite all this, she used to say, I will be patient and put up with anything as long as Walid doesn't leave me.
I tried to be patient, but I reached a point where I could no longer endure it. I took the decision on my own and without my family knowing, because I had decided that no one should interfere in my life anymore, even if it meant losing my family.
I had complications with my pregnancy in my third trimester. I spent a week in hospital. After that, my father returned me to my husband's house. And while I was recovering at home, we heard a loud knock on the door. It was one of my cousins. He handed my father-in-law, who is also my uncle, a piece of paper without saying a word. My father-in-law read the paper and went quiet. My mother-in-law sensed something was wrong and asked what's on the paper. And they told her that it was a divorce paper from my brother Walid. They fell silent for a while and then they went to tell their daughter that Walid had divorced her. She was very upset and came crying to my room and was yelling, "Why would you do this to me, Walid? What did I ever do to you?" I kept quiet. I couldn't say anything. I felt sorry for her because there was little she could do to change her fate. My mother-in-law came and took her from my room and told her not to come into my room again. Then they all left me alone and no one spoke to me for the rest of the day. I thought to myself, what did I do? Their marriage was not destined to last.
Word got to me that my uncle was very upset and called my father to tell him, come take your daughter and consider her divorced.
My father-in-law told my father, if they didn't come to get me, they would throw me out on the street. Shortly after that, my sister arrived and said to me, come, you're coming home with us. I didn't object at that point because I was starting to feel uneasy and I wasn't feeling well. I wanted to go home and be with my mother.
My sister was not feeling well. I helped her pack her stuff and helped her get up. The other girls in the family were crying and asking, why are you taking her? I told them, this is not up to you or me. My uncle said we should come take her. I took my sister and we went home.
My uncle was pressuring his son to divorce my sister. He didn't want to divorce her. They were happy and she was pregnant.
My husband was crying when he called me. He said, what am I going to do? If I leave home, where am I going to go? If I stay, my father is forcing me to divorce you.
If I were him, I would not have left my wife and I would have fought for her, even if it meant losing my family.
He did what he could. Relatives tried to intervene to solve our problem. In the end, my father said he's willing to give me back, but that my husband had to get us our own place to live. But my husband couldn't afford to rent a place. We stayed apart for 2 years, but he used to call me every day. I couldn't tell my father I wanted my husband back. I didn't tell my mother or even my sister. It just wasn't my nature. I didn't want them to blame me if things didn't work out. But I got to a point where I thought I didn't want him anymore, that divorce was better, although I knew I would never find a man like him again. And then I used to tell myself that I had to be patient for my daughter's sake and that God would eventually help me.
Of course, I felt guilty about my sister. She had to live away from her husband for 2 years. But I tried to convince my father that it didn't matter where they lived, as long as they were together. I just didn't want to carry on living with this guilt. My sister said she understood why I had to take the decision to divorce my cousin, and I will never forget how kind she was to me, despite what I had done to her. Marriage is not easy. It's not a game. You should get married only when you're certain of the choice, and it should be your choice, not your parents.
All this heartache happened even though each family had actually paid the dowry and agreed that one marriage would not affect the other. But when problems started, it was difficult for the families to honor the agreement, because as I've discovered from my conversation with the village elderman, there's another unspoken element to this, pride, and therefore revenge. If you hurt my daughter, I will hurt yours.
Young people are often the victims of these traditions. Some fathers will say, if you send back my daughter, I will send you back your daughter. I've witnessed women cry because they didn't want to be divorced. And I've witnessed men crying because they didn't want to divorce. Stubbornness is what makes some fathers force their sons to end their marriage.
Waleed and Noura had little choice but to agree to enter unwanted marriages, because disobeying your parents means risking losing the only support you have in Yemeni society, family. But in the end, Waleed was able to escape his unhappy marriage without having to be cut off from his family. And Noura is back with her husband, whom she fell in love with after they got married. It wasn't easy. She had to plead with her father for many months. But her father did not agree to Noura and her husband moving back in with her in-laws. So they're living on their own now. But not all those who have swap marriages are as lucky. The consequences of tying one marriage to another can be heartbreaking, not just for the couples, but for their children as well, as happened to Nadia, who was so traumatized by her own experience that she advised me to wait before having children of my own.
The children are the real victims of swap marriage, and the woman, especially if she loves her husband.
I returned to Yemen to try to understand this strange marriage custom, and I found that swap marriage is entangled in multiple layers of complex traditions in a society that has long been closed to the outside world. I was moved by the personal stories of the people I met. And whilst as a Yemeni I knew that traditions and customs have a strong grip over society, I was struck to find that tradition can actually trump religion. Yemen is a society that surrenders its future to the concept of destiny, and a society that places its faith in tribal laws to fix their problems. Maybe swap marriage is slowly dying out, as the old man in the village told me. But from what I've seen, it will be a long time before our young people have more faith in their ability to take charge of their own future and no longer let these archaic traditions get in the way of their happiness.